Real estate is a national obsession in Canada. No surprise, given that the price gains in Vancouver and Toronto have been ridiculous, insane, off the charts. But new regulatory measures and a recent rate hike may have changed the dynamics a little bit or a lot, depending on where you live. We're going to look at the seller psychology with David Coffey. He's a sales representative at Bosley Real Estate in Toronto and a blogger on all matters real estate. He joins us now. Hello.
Hi there.
Disclaimer, this is a national show. The dynamics differ dramatically, but your experience largely reflects Toronto. Any other disclaimers here?
No, that's about it.
No, that's the big disclaimer. Yeah. Okay, so my neighborhood is one in which people talk about real estate all the time, in the bars, at the playground, in the schoolyard, all that. And talking about selling prices was a real point of pride for people. So they'd be like, ooh, I sold my house. I'm so amazing. I got $1.2 million or whatever. So I was taken aback recently when a seller in our neighborhood got coy about his selling price. He wouldn't talk about it. Have you seen this shift? Are we starting to see the bravado of I'm so amazing, I sold my home for $1.4 million to I only had one offer, therefore I can't talk about it?
Yes and no. I mean, we've seen the shift definitely at the higher end of the market because the market has shifted since in Toronto since the Ontario rules came through with the foreign buyer tax and the rent control. So we're seeing a definite switch from the heights of February where you're getting 33% higher than the year before, which got everybody very excited, right? And then you have the sellers going, wow, look at these price changes. I need to put my house on the market. So they all rush in to put their house on the market. And then the buyers say, wait a minute, this is crazy. And these changes come in and they go, maybe we just need to step aside and see what happens.
Do you think it's fair to say that we are seeing a shift in the way the seller relates to their sale price? It's different because in the heyday of the bidding wars, there was this, I would say, inaccurate reflection of their self-worth that was tied up in the fact that they got $300,000 more than asking. Like they were like, woo, look at me, I'm awesome. And now the inverse of that, this is my hypothesis, the inverse of that is, you know, we sold our house, but we actually only got one offer and we got asking here. Mm-hmm. And they are almost embarrassed about that.
Yeah, I think for a long time, because it's been a seller's market for so long, it feels as if it's almost effortless. And if you want to put your house on the market, you often put it just below market value and people bid and it goes crazy and it goes way over. And then you go out and brag to your neighborhood about all these great prices. And I think there is a moment right now where in some markets you'll see the buyers are like, what's happening? This isn't selling in a week. They're confused. They don't know what to do either. But, it's temporary, I think, unfortunately. I think it's going to start shifting. I'm seeing it already. There's a lot of buyers. What happened with them is they actually didn't end up selling at all. So
a lot of sellers, you mean?
A lot of sellers have not ended up selling at all. So you see, this spring having a lot more terminated listings, like two or three times more than last year.
So this means they put it out there. They didn't get the bidding wars that they wanted. So they just take it off the market.
Yeah. So there's they can't brag. But at the same time, it's not desperate. They don't have to sell. So they go, well, I don't have a good story here. The timing isn't right. I'm going
to
wait.
And I don't have to sell.
Really, the only people who had to sell were the ones who bought already and needed the money from the sale of the house.
How do you shift sellers' expectations here? Because I'm sure, you're a realtor, but you're also kind of a life coach for some of these people, probably. You're dealing with marital dynamics and you're dealing with their hopes and dreams. How do you shift their expectations?
Well, I think you really have to talk to them and figure out their motivations for selling, right? And some of them are moving. If it's a lateral move and you're making a lateral move in a market that's, let's go back to March, for example. If it's so difficult to buy a house and you plan on selling your house and buying another one, then you have to plot out a strategy to buy that house. So you probably want to buy first because it's tougher. And then you might want to sell second because it's really easy back in March. Now you may have different advice depending on when you want to fire off. So if you want to fire off soon and you live in a certain house that's, let's say, over $2 million and it's up north, then that's going to be tougher to sell right now. That's the market that's had the biggest hit. So you may have to have a strategy of selling first. You may want to list at a price and have offers anytime. You may not hold back offers. So you might just switch your strategy.
As a seller agent, so I know you do both, but as the seller agent, how has your job changed in the last 3 months?
I think it has to do with really, really understanding the market. And I think people want to pull in people won't let go of March. They want March back. And you really have to pull in comparables to their homes that are recent, that are in the last month or two. But it varies, because if you're in, you know, the lower end of the market, you know, under 600,000, let's say, you know, I've been in bidding wars with 12 other people for a condo under 500 square feet. So that market is still quite strong, right? So it depends on who your seller is. But you do have to have them looking at recent sales. And it's like a slow understanding, right? Some of them are panicking too. They're going, oh my God, it's just going to fall and fall and fall and fall and fall. And I'm like, I don't think so. So, you know, that mentality takes place too. So you just have to follow their neighborhood and just feeding them, hey, this is what's happening. This is what's selling. So they have a...
One of the phrases that I picked up in one of your blogs was, you have to be able to negotiate. What does that even mean? I mean, because that was not a part of the transaction in March. It's like, I'm waiting for a home study. Well, good luck to you. You're not getting this house if you're waiting for the what do you call it? The inspection report.
Yes.
Home inspection.
Yes.
Home
yes.
inspection. So what does negotiating mean today?
Well, like I said earlier, it was effortless on some. It was almost like you were following a script. You know, we're going to accept offers on Tuesday. You might get a bully before then. So people's expectations were, I'm just going to sit back and people are going to pitch themselves at me and all I have to do is pick, which is really quite easy. But I think the psychology this spring was that, you know, what if you don't get any offers? What if there's a bunch of offers and you don't get what you want? Like, I think you have to be willing to go back and forth and negotiate on things that are like the closing price. You know, on things like, the closing date, your price. And some of these things take a couple of days. It doesn't happen all in one night, as I think we were expecting. You know, I think people have to, you know, sit with things for a while and say, oh, can I do this? Maybe this will work better. You have an immediate emotional response. Then you think for a while and decide, you know, maybe it's better to go and, you know, give a little here. And then the buyer has to give a little, and hopefully you meet somewhere in the middle.
The pricing really is art and science, and the art of it has changed with the market dynamics changing. How do you set prices these days? What's the thinking?
Well, I think the psychology for a lot of sellers who didn't get caught up in the spring was to wait. So, you know, when things started slipping and sellers would say, I want to sell in June, I would say, you know, maybe you may want to consider waiting, depending on their circumstances. So I think my suggestion was to let this thing play itself out with the foreign tax, the foreign buyer's tax, and see how long it takes. Because in Vancouver, it took about 6 months to play out. And that would leave us in October. So if people could wait, I would say wait and see what happens. I can't guarantee that's going to be the best solution. But I'm already seeing buyers coming back a little bit more. So that's what I would suggest off the top.
Is it fair to say that your job is harder now than it was 3 months ago? Does it feel harder?
It feels different.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think, you know, and to be fair, I work with buyers and sellers. So working with a buyer in March was hard. It was, you know, you felt like that's where you feel like a life coach. That's where you feel like you have to prep somebody else with a market that's just galloping away out of control. It feels more comfortable to me now to work in this kind of climate.
Right.
Where there is some negotiation and you can work with people.
And they can actually go back to their car after touring a house to think, do I want this house or not? Instead of, I need a certified check for $100,000 or I'm going to miss this one.
Yes, but I still think it might be a blip. I don't think we're going to go back to having, you know, anytime soon, you know, a month where it's 33% higher than last year. And I just don't feel that's going to happen again. So I think, you know, that's been tamed. But I think we're going to go back to bidding wars again. I think that's coming.
Gosh, well, I'm glad you got your vacation while you could. Because if you're right, that's it for you for the rest of the year. David, thank you very much.
All right, thanks.
David Coffey is a sales representative at Bosley Real Estate in Toronto and also a blogger on all things real estate.